Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Chapter 8. The context of the scripture you're going to hear this morning in verse 8 is a beautiful context. How many's ever heard the scripture, "The joy of the Lord is your strength"? Wave at me. How many has ever always thought of that in the sense of the New Testament, where the joy of the Lord comes into your life and the joy of Jesus just overflows you, and it's a spiritual fruit, and indeed it is in the New Testament, is joy. How many has ever experienced the exhilarating joy when the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Well, that's not the joy of the Lord that this is talking about. Thank you for the hearty amens. We got strange looks and amens. At least I have your attention. It can't be, because it's not in the New Testament. The Lord, joy of the Lord is your strength, is not under the New Covenant. But it is the basis. This Old Covenant joy that we're going to discover and talk about is the basis for all New Covenant joy. There can't be any joy in the Holy Ghost in the Old Covenant, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Hello? How many know the Holy Ghost didn't come in the Old Covenant? He came in the New Covenant. But the basis for all New Covenant joy is found back in the Old Covenant. And that's why so many people are trying to experience consistently the joy that... Didn't the Bible say that whom having not seen concerning Jesus, whom having not seen you love with an atmosphere over your life and an attitude of your heart with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Everybody say joy unspeakable. That means if you tried to describe what you were experiencing in your relationship with Jesus, it would be virtually, verbally impossible to do so. I don't think most Christians would have a problem telling people how you feel at any given time. I don't think joy unspeakable marks the average Christian experience. And I'm talking about people over Rodney's right now experiencing holy laughter. Get them on Wednesday afternoon and talk to them on the phone and ask them, "How are you today?" And chances are they won't say, "Woo! Glory! I can't even find the words to describe the joy that is in my life." Hello? No, that Holy Spirit anointing in that moment in time, amen, needs to operate in real time on Wednesday. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Without the joy of the Lord, you don't have the strength that you need. If you don't have the strength, you're not going to use your faith. You're not even going to be in a position to receive from God, amen, with promises that are given you that are so extremely overwhelming, exceeding great, precious promise. And here we sit, the promisees. Amen. Here we sit. Here we sit today. Amen. My Bible said through faith they obtained promises in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Amen. If you're not obtaining promises, let me tell you something. You're sad, and I'm sad, and we should be, because God is not able to really help us. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord, and happy are the people who have what? The Lord God of Jacob for their help. See, the happenings don't change until we start receiving. When we start receiving, happenings begin to change. Amen? What's going to happen in your life if some of God's promises begin to be realized in our life? Well, Jesus put it this way. He said the whole chapter, John 15, is about a right relationship with God, abiding in that right relationship with Him, and drawing what you need from Him as a branch does from the vine. And He said, "I've spoken all of this unto you, that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full." I told you that you can have this kind of relationship so that your joy might be full. See, it's not just what happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's what's happening in your consistent walk with God that produces the foundation for all spiritual joy. That's why Nehemiah is important today. Because that's the context of the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not what's going to happen at the end of this service when you may or may not get a big jolt from God. I hope you do. I hope God turns over your honey bucket. Amen. I really do. I hope He sweetens your spirit. I hope He shows you something more than the distractions and deceptions that you've been looking at. I hope you can see the mighty hand of God, amen, overriding and overruling your circumstances. Amen. I hope you can find in your heart a place for God that is so big and so welcoming that you can find contentment in Him, even if you're discontent with your present life and your present circumstances, that you can transcend that and say, Lord, there's a lot of things I wish was different, but there's one thing that I'm so happy with, and that is You living in me right here, right now. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm just going to read Nehemiah 8. And if you want to read the context, read 1 through 10. Now, I'm going to tell you the context. I'm going to read it from a Bible commentary. Listen to Nehemiah 8. Are you interested in this message? Reclaiming the joy of the Lord. Say it with me. Reclaiming the joy of the Lord. And renewing your spiritual strength. See, reclaiming the joy of the Lord is the only way to truly renew your spiritual strength. You don't just have sustaining strength because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost and dunamis ability has come to you. This is not about what is resident in you. Every Christian in this room has to some degree the Holy Spirit. You're not a Christian if the Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you. Baptized in the Spirit means that He has the whole of you. Amen. I don't think you hear me. Baptized is the word for a wave that comes in and overwhelms you to where you're completely immersed in it. Amen. Everywhere you see the word baptized in the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost in the New Testament, it's filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is power. Amen. This has nothing to do with a person and a relationship that you have with that person. That's why so many people have the power abiding within you, but because of a wrong relationship with the person, amen, that you're supposed to be walking so closely with, that power is not evident and that power isn't flowing through you. Amen. It's come to you. There's no doubt about that. Amen. Heaven came down to the earth and you got caught in the middle of the smack. And wasn't it a wonderful day when it happened? Can you say amen? Amen. Heaven kissed earth, rather, and you got caught in the middle of the smack. That's how it felt like when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's like God come down and give me a big old smooch. Amen. And the power of God came on me, and I lived just to seek that power. I was power hungry. I was power oriented. I was power focused. And I'm going to tell you something. The joy of the Lord is not sustained by the miracle working dunamis of the Holy Spirit. It's sustained in a living, breathing, intimate, personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Hello? And people that are not walking in that right relationship with God have a tension that is not coming from the world. The world will just add to the burden. But the real tension is not the world overcoming and overwhelming us. It's something wrong between us and our God. And when God is able to fix that, the result is the joy of the Lord. And when the joy of the Lord comes, your strength returns. Your true spiritual stamina, the Holy Ghost, who is no longer grieved, can flow uninhibited to you and through you. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel like shouting already because I know the end of this sermon. Glory to God. Amen. I also know the end of the book. But let me read this to you. This is the verse 10 of Nehemiah 8, 1 through 10. And sets all of this up. Then he said unto them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. You've heard me say this at the end of so many services. And you ran straight for a golden corral. And give portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Now he just told them about their sins. He didn't point at them and say, you're sinners. He just read to them from the book of the law, and they saw it. Isn't it great when you're in a service and you see something? It's not the preacher trying to get you to see. You see it as you hear the word, and you personally open your heart and submit your life to God. And it broke their heart. They were so far. They drifted so far. And there was weeping and mourning. They bowed with their faces to the ground in worship as they listened to the word. And by the way, you think I'm long-winded. He preached, amen, until noon. From daybreak until noon, it was a six-hour service. And Lisa just grimaced. 6 hours. We have a trouble with an hour, over an hour. And there they were, 6 hours, because they had been deprived. They just got back from Babylon. They just got back out of captivity. There was no teaching priest. They'd almost forgotten the ways of their God and the covenant he had with them. And when they heard it, amen, after not hearing it, you know what is so exciting in Russia? They haven't sat under what you have sat under. And they're getting to hear what you have heard Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And there's a tendency to take all that for granted, but not so in Soviet Russia. They are hearing what you hear Sunday after Sunday. And there's a spirit of excitement running through that nation, that there is a God that loved them enough to give his son, and there's a God that will come down into their human circumstance and dwell with them and help them in life and take them to heaven. And there's a revival in Soviet Russia, and there's a need for revival in the U.S. of A. Can you say amen? Because they're excited about what we should be excited about. There's a revival in China. Need that revival in America. They're not hearing something new or different. They're excited about what you have down pat. It's just that they've heard it, and it's just they've been deprived of it. I preached at Robert Gass's church, and that's before the day of the mega churches, and there was, you know, 1,500, which seems like a small number now in light of the 17,000 membership of Church Without Walls here in Tampa, not largest church in Florida, one of the largest in the United States of America. Amen. Mighty, mighty thing. Tampa's been known as kind of a dead spiritual city for a long time. Evangelists would not come to our convention halls because of the lack of attendance. They would go to Lakeland. They would go to Orlando. They would go to St. Petersburg, but they quit coming to Tampa. The singing group Truth, amen, passed Tampa up on their itinerary because when they came, there was only about half an auditorium full of people. Amen. So they went to Orlando to hold their concert. Tampa hadn't been known for a lot of spiritual fervor and activity. But God, down through the years, because of intercession and people holding the fort, began to change some things in this old city. Can you say amen? And this is a mighty time of change. And we should rejoice with them that rejoice this morning. Can you say amen? We ought to glory that Christ is preached. I can find a lot of things that I may personally disagree with in a lot of ministries. And believe me, they find equally as much wrong with mine. Amen. They're trying to straighten me out. I'm trying to straighten them out. We're all trying to straighten each other out. Paul said, you know something, we'll probably never achieve that. But I'm going to stand true to my convictions. But while standing true to my own convictions and the truth revealed to me by Jesus Christ, every time his name is exalted somewhere, every time the cross is preached, every time an altar call is made, I'm going to glory. Even if the preacher himself is doing it with the wrong motive, amen, I'm going to glory when that name is exalted and extolled. Why? Because Christ is preached. I said Christ is preached. You didn't hear me, Pentecostal. Every time they walk the aisle in a Billy Graham crusade, amen, it doesn't matter to me if they ever talk in tongues. Christ is preached. And if they come in true faith, they're going to be saved. And we ought to rejoice. Woo! I first got saved, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Man, if you didn't hit the floor running, I didn't think you had anything to say for God. Amen. Now we got Babdecostals. Anyway, moving right along. We got a few Babdecostals. Some of you are Babdecostals. You were first Babdy, and now you're Costals. Can you say amen? He told them, he said, quit mourning. I'm not convicting you and bringing you to a place of brokenness and repentance to keep you suppressed and to put you down and keep pointing the finger at you. I want to restore your souls. I want to renew the covenant. I want to give you back the blessings that are inherent to walking in that covenant with me. Amen. I want you to set, amen, this day of repentance as a day of great joy and rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because you've come back to your God and your God has come back to you. So don't stay in mourning. Lift the veil. Begin to celebrate. Hallelujah. because you're right with me. Neither be you sorry. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, but once it does, you don't stay sorry no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Quit looking back and say, oh, I'm sorry. Listen, you were. You want to know where your sins are if you've truly confessed them in repentance? They're as far away from God as the east is from the west. And if you tried to talk to him about them, he would say, I don't know what you're talking about. I do not remember that. I distinctly remember forgetting that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So don't let the devil come and browbeat you. You say, Brother Venable, that's too simple. I'm going to do some penance. Well, I'm sorry. You can't do no penance. There's nothing you can do. Amen. It's what has been done for you at the cross. And that should be a cause of great joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? New Testament anointings and New Testament enablements and New Testament empowerments will not work until this relationship, this critical, crucial relationship issue is settled. The joy of the Lord is your strength is about people in a wrong relationship with God that got carried into Babylon, who are now being delivered from Babylon and restored to a right relationship with God. Everybody say it's always it's all about my relationship. The foundation for the joy of the Lord begins with relationship. Say it with me again, relationship. Enoch walked with God. Amen. Everybody said he had a relationship with him. Can you say amen? And was not because God took him. Can you say amen? Listen, I believe we're living in the Enoch generation. If you expect to go when Jesus comes, amen, hallelujah, then God wants to bring you into a real, genuine, authentic, right relationship. Because it brings joy. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't any baptism in Nehemiah's day. Christ had not been to the cross, but repentance could bring you into a right relationship with God. Nothing like the new covenant, but enough to produce joy. The joy, and I'm going to, can we look into this relationship joy issue? Because we're trying to get joy just through the Holy Ghost. You should receive what? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, power, dunamis, miracle working ability. That has nothing to do with relationship yet. That gift is not about relationship. It came to people that had renewed a right relationship with God. They were walking with Him. They were seeking Him. They were loving Him. They were serving Him. And so the Holy Ghost came upon them, easily flowed mightily through them. They had the joy of the Lord long before the Holy Ghost came on them. Your pen's dropping all over the place. Amen. So no one's writing that in their Bible. There's those kind of pens dropping. We think we just got the baptism. We're going to stay in joy. How many found out you didn't? Anybody found out that didn't happen? You shouted so good on Sunday, but now it's Monday. Now it's Thursday, and all that strength to stand for God, that strength to say no to sin, that strength to live effectively, that strength to witness, to enjoy His presence, it seems to be depleted. Where'd it go? We're anointed. There's no doubt about it. The power of God, the dunamis of God is upon us. But the relationship, they that do know, everybody say relationship, they that do know, their God will be strong and do exploits. We're talking about intimacy with God. We're talking about something that when you walk out of church, amen, doesn't end. Amen, that continues, praise God. We're talking about something in your daily life. We're talking about something only you can develop and cultivate. I can't do that. I can't even do it for my wife. I can't say, honey, all you need to do today is just get with God, get along with God. Yeah, man, I can tell her all of the things she needs to do, but only Pamela can go into her closet, shut to the door, shut out the devil, shut up the devil, praise God. Amen? And hear the voice of God and walk with Him and develop a personal relationship with Him. Only you can do that. We want to come and someone lay hands on us and take care of everything through the dunamis. And what we really need is a real, genuine, authentic relationship that is right with our God. Can you say amen? You get a right relationship with God, you'll get your joy back. Get your joy back, you'll get your strength back. Can you say amen? Get your strength back, guess what? You can stand. The Hebrew word for strength, since the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we're talking about a relationship that's been renewed. Let me go back. I want to read this. If I don't finish today, can I finish tonight? Let me just read this. I want you to see the context of this. For 70 years, the people of Israel had been in captivity. For 70 years, they had been without their beloved city of Jerusalem and the temple. For 70 years, they had been as aliens in a foreign land. This is the whole setting of the book of Nehemiah, as well as other books in the Bible. For 70 years, they had been as aliens in a foreign land, trying to sing a song of joy. Remember Psalm 126? It's talking about this coming out of that bondage, coming back to where they needed to be, returning to God and God returning to them. It was more than coming out of Babylon and back to Jerusalem. It was coming out of their rebellion and coming back to repentance and coming back to God. And what happens when you return to God? Truly, everybody say relationship. What happens when we return to a right relationship with God? Amen. What happens? It's not just going back to church, is it? Amen. You've got to do more than go back to church. Somebody said, and that's a good thing because it can help you build your relationship with Him. But it's more than that. It's got to be more than that. I go to church. Amen. But after church is over, I cultivate a relationship with God. Because the joy of the church? No. The joy of the evangelist? No. The joy of the prophet or the preacher? No. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So Psalm 126 said, when God turned again our captivity, amen, then was our mouth filled with singing and our tongues filled with laughter. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say the joy of the Lord. Everybody say laughter. Say it again, laughter. Wow, you know, we could use a little more laughter in God's house. I mean, God is laughing at the enemy. He said He would have them in derision, which means I'll laugh at them. Amen. With all the things they're saying and all the things they're doing, I'll laugh at them. I was reading last night. I didn't bring it. There was a whole list of things that made me laugh. And I was enjoying it because I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. And it was just a joy. I don't think I brought it. But I know there was one thing that was outstanding out of all the bloopers. You know, like, ladies, bring us all your girdles for the men's breakfast instead of griddles for the pancake breakfast. You know, tonight's message will be, do you know what hell really is? Without even breaking with the punctuation, it said, come early and hear our choir practice. The title of the message was, you know, so, you know, just somebody didn't punctuate it correctly and it just read wrong. How many know it just read wrong? Michael is laughing more than anyone. Anyway, moving, I don't know what that means. Y'all will have to ask him at the choir practice today. Anyway, moving right along. Amen. But there was a guy named, a lady named, her name was Sandra Belcher. Sandra Belch. Belch was the last name. Belch. And she was a missionary to Africa. And the church bulletin read, come tonight and hear Sandra Belch all the way from Africa. The biggest bloopers you'll ever see is what preachers make and what happens in church bulletins. They're just full of all of these wonderful things. And here we are, we're laughing just a little bit today. And I know we're dealing with serious matters, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to get serious about the joy of the Lord. God is deadly serious about His people getting a right relationship with Him. And He knows the result of that, the tension between God and His people is going to dissipate. Amen. We're going to be able to say the Lord is for us. The Lord is on our side. The Lord will deliver. The Lord will supply. The Lord will provide. The Lord will come through. The Lord will defend me. The Lord will work it out. That's what the joy of the Lord produces. And that is your strength. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look at somebody and smile. Look at somebody and smile right now. See, your face didn't break, did it? You thought it would, but sure enough, it's still there. By the way, your face is kind of like an elastic. No matter what you do with it, it goes back to where it normally stays. Can you say, man? How many know where it normally stays? Someday we're going to... No, we're not. We're not. I won't embarrass anyone with a hidden camera to let you see you the way others see you when it goes back into its normal state. I want my normal state to be like this. Somebody said, laugh. Even in the time of trouble, and if you know your God, just go ahead and praise Him and express joy in His presence and in His promises. Amen. Because it'll drive your enemy nuts. Can you say amen? There was a new energy in the congregation of Israel. There was a new zeal. The leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah was dynamic. They pushed the people to grow, do, and become what their forefathers had failed to do. Together they rebuilt the walls. They shall be of thee that shall what? Build up the old waste place, as Isaiah 58 said. This is exactly what's taking place. Amen. Listen, don't look at what anybody else does or don't do. They shall be of thee. Somebody in here's got to get filled. Somebody in here's got to take the lead. Somebody in here's got to be put in contract. Somebody in here's got to get it one Sunday. Hallelujah. And come back with it next Sunday. Woo! And maybe somebody else will say, that's what I'm missing. And if that person can get it, if old so-and-so can get it, I know I can get it. Hallelujah. So God wants to give it to old so-and-so today. And if you're old so-and-so, get ready. Woo! Yeah, God wants to move on some old so-and-so. So that when people come in that hadn't been here for a few weeks, walk in and say, dear Lord in heaven, hadn't old so-and-so changed? Look what they got in God. Something is happening. Look what I'm missing. But if they come in and old so-and-so, just old so-and-so, they ain't missing nothing. It's quiet, isn't it? I didn't know we had that many old so-and-sos. I thought two or three, maybe. There was new energy in Israel. They're coming back to God, and God is coming back to them, and everything's changing. They said, we will arise and build. And that's what God wants us to say. We will arise and build. Why? Because God is with us. God is for us. Amen. It's up to us to make a move now. Hallelujah. Woo. People had a mind to work. The reason they were able to do it against all the opposition, they had a mind to work. And the Bible said God strengthened their hands to work. When you get a mind to work, the power of God's going to manifest. Woo! Amen! Together they rebuilt the walls. Together they rebuilt their homes. Together they worshiped God. They gathered like we are today, and Ezra brought out the law of Moses, began to read. Ezra read from a high wooden platform, and the people stood in reverence to the word of God. Ezra praised the Lord, our great God, and all the people lifted their hands and shouted, amen! What I was trying to get, I didn't even ask you to raise your hand. Just mouthed the words. Be it unto us according to thy word. Can you imagine what would the dramatic, dynamic change in your heart and mind if it was unto us according to His word? If it was joy unspeakable and full of glory again. Woo! Somebody say woo! Hallelujah! Amen! Can you imagine if it was unto us, if we heard the word and put our faith alongside of it and said, be it unto me according to thy word. They were just amen people. They were ready. They were on the receiving end. Listen to this. The people stood in reverence, and they lifted their hands and shouted amen. Then upon the hearing, they went from standing with arms raised to bowing down with their faces to the ground as they worshiped God. Ezra not only read the scriptures, but explained them. He gave to them understanding. This is all found in the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 12. He gave them understanding of the people, I believe that understanding brought a realization of their sins because the people began to weep in godly sorrow. Can you say amen? You know what godly sorrow does? Godly sorrow worketh something so powerful, so positive, so life-changing, so uplifting. Godly sorrow is not a comfortable feeling, but it brings great consolation. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen. And what does real repentance do? It restores a relationship. And what happens when that relationship is restored? The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, give him a hand clap. Praise God. Woo! The joy of the Lord. But it was not a day for mourning. Nehemiah told the people it was a day sacred to God. It's a day to enjoy good food and drink and to share it with those who didn't have anything. Do not grieve, he said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've got your repentance. I don't need your penance. Can you say amen? I've got your heart recaptured. Amen. I'm standing ready to forgive your sin and restore you today. Hallelujah. Find your strength in the joy that comes from God. Realize your sin, but realize even more the love that God has for you and you and you and you. Today I want us to reclaim that joy, to take some of those same emotions they felt when they heard the Word of God and explaining of Scripture and let it fill us to overflowing. I want the joy, joy, joy down in my heart to stay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Try that amen one more time. Amen? Hallelujah. The word strength here isn't the dunamis. It isn't the power of the New Testament. That's not the strength that he's talking about. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. And we think of spiritual muscularity. It is not spiritual muscularity. It's all about relationship. Everybody say strength. Does anybody want to know what it means in the Hebrew? So you'll know what he was truly saying. It's the word maoz. M-A-W hyphen O-Z-E. Maoz. The joy of the Lord is our maoz. You know what it means? It means place. Or means of safety. Protection. Refuge. Stronghold. Amen. The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run to it and are maoz. That's their strength. They have a God, hallelujah, who protects them and provides for them. And they look to Him. They're coming back to that place. They're coming back to that place. They're coming back to that place of God's provision. Everybody say the place of God's provision. Honey, that's your real strength, is being in a place that God can provide. The strength you need, the grace you need, the help you need, the wisdom you need, the power you need to overcome. But it doesn't start with power, wisdom, and strength. It starts with a place. That's why they went back to Bethel. They were going back to a place. We need to get back to that place we were in God. Amen. Where the joy of the Lord is our stronghold. It means harbor, stronghold. Figuratively, it means a refuge of God. Didn't David say God is our refuge? He's our maoz. He's our strength. He's a present help in the time of trouble. If you're right with Him, God defends you. If you're right with Him, God protects you. If you're right with Him, God provides you. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. He has no choice but to flee from you. But first, get right with God. Getting rid of the devil is not the real issue. Getting right with God is the issue the church is facing. Get right with God and you can get rid of the devil. It's awful hard to just preach authority and not preach relationship. To talk about the joy in the Holy Ghost and not preach the joy of a right relationship. The foundation for that joy is this joy. It begins with getting right with God. It's the result of true repentance. They took his watch off. Lord, help us. I don't look at it anyway, and I don't want to break it. I feel like pounding the pulpit. This one couldn't take it. I'm trying to hold myself back. Oh, I like that. I want to declare first and foremost that while every generation of Christians needed this strength in the Lord, none needed it more than those who would live in the last days. Nobody needs it more than we need it. No generation is it as crucial as the last day generation. Because everything about the last days connotates the reducing and the wearing down of strength. The joy of the Lord is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength. It doesn't matter how much Holy Ghost you have in you. Without the joy of this right relationship with God, you're not going to use your faith. It's not going to flow through you. It's going to sit there dormant inside of you. That's why a discouraged man that had been worn down by it all very quickly by the name of Timothy with a true calling and a true anointing was sitting in discouragement. All those gifts were dormant. Every one of us has been down to Tarshish at some time or another looking for a ship out of Christian service, a ship out of the pressure, a ship out of even having to account to our brethren. Honey, that's why we come together, so we can be somewhat accountable, so you can't just keep drifting, so you have to be pressed into pulling things back in a right direction. Can you say, amen, we need each other, not to judge each other, but to help each other to stand. Amen. If I see you cast down, amen, for very long, I'm going to start praying for you. Amen. I want to be somebody that's there to help you and lift you up. I want to preach something that will touch your soul and touch your heart, because you can't live in that place very long and keep the victory. Can you say, amen, don't ever step back. Come on, that's not the way you win battles. Don't ever take a step backwards. God wants you to step up today. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what kind of failures you've had. God still wants you to step up today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They shall be of thee that build up the old waste places. And thou shalt be called the restorer of the breach and the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, I've got to hurry. Listen to this. It said, this know also that in the last days perilous times will come. Outrageous. Violent is that word, perilous. Fierce is another Greek part of that word. People, it's a fierce time. It's a jungle out there, they say. And it is. We're living in a day when you can't let children out of your sight. Not even in your own front yard. There's a lady at work said, we've fenced in our backyard because our kids are so filled with energy, and we cannot let them play in the front yard, up and down the sidewalk, unattended anymore. We can't do it because so many predators are looking for an opportunity to take an innocent and do unspeakable things. They found the little girl recently that was under all the rubble, amen, abused and sit under rubble to die. And they found that precious little girl, and some mother somewhere heart is terrified and horrified. And their life is unalterably changed because you can't let your kids go to the park and play anymore. Without supervision, you've got to keep your eye on them because there are predators looking for them. And look like predators seeing what happened to other predators getting caught and prosecuted would back off, but they don't. They're driven. Driven by what this society has allowed and produced. A spirit of lust permeates the society. It's in every part of it, and it's driving people. Amen. The Bible said the whole world lieth in wickedness, which means under the power of the evil one. And we're beginning to see what that power produces. Amen. Let's don't ever put down the preaching of righteousness. Let's don't ever cut the preaching of righteousness. Let's don't say it won't work in the 21st century. If we ever needed righteousness priest and holiness priest, we need it preached now in this society and in this culture. Can you say amen? When I was growing up, you didn't have to worry about that. You didn't have to think about that. It was unthinkable. But that these things would be across the newspaper headlines. But here we are today in the tolerant society. And we're scratching our heads and said, where do these deviants come from? They're the result of a godless, Christless society. with no absolutes, and no one standing and declaring, this is the way, walk ye in it, to give a conscience, the collective conscience to America. Even non-Christians had a conscience at one time, so they couldn't do and wouldn't do unconscionable things. Woo! I feel His good pleasure when I stand up for what is right. We don't have to cut the message to build the kingdom. Can you say amen? Or the church. Oh, I feel His presence in this room today. In the last days, these kind of times will come. These fierce, outrageous times. I can't go to the break room that a headline, someone's reading a headline and they look to me for some prophetic perspective and they said, Rev, have you seen this? Almost two or three times a week, just reading the paper, they say, Rev, did you read this? Rev, did you see this? And I'm always bringing a prophecy perspective and said, yes, this is the time that was predicted. This is the time that God talked about. And then I turn it from the negative to the positive and say, the coming of the Lord is so very close. It's time to get ready. And you see these things begin to come to pass.
Just go home and watch TV and try to forget it all. No! Just go home and drink up and smoke up and toke up. No! And shoot up. No!
This is a time to lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. To them that look, He shall appear. Woo! I said to them that look. The Bible spoke of them that love. He said, these blessings are not for me only. Amen. This blessing of eternal life, eternal future with Him. Paul down and getting ready to die a martyr's death. He said, this is not for me only, but all those who love His appearing. All those that the greatest thing that could possibly happen is not winning some mega lotto. Amen. There's a man won two of them. He bought two tickets and won both lottos somewhere, some Powerball. And it called him on the news a lucky son of a gun because they couldn't put the other word on there. Because everybody's jealous of the fact that he just went out and bought one ticket. It was a winner, laid it up, didn't even know he'd won, then bought another, and it won too. What a lucky son of a gun. Everybody's jealous. Honey, when you love His appearing, when you love His appearing, and you see all around you the signs that He's just about here, something begins to leap in your heart. Maranatha becomes, amen, a common word among the body of Christ, which means, come, Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When's the last time you didn't hear about just materialism on the television and what God can do for you in this life, but the fact that Jesus coming is nigh at hand, even at the doors. Can you say, there's a generation that will see certain signs that will indicate that the coming of the Lord is not coming down the road. He's not coming around the bend. He's even at the door. Can you say, man, it's that close. Woo! And here we sit with our problems and distractions and deceptions. Void of a real right relationship with God. Losing the strength to stand in the last day. And God is saying, I want you back so you can have me back. So you can get joy back. Before the Holy Ghost was given, they had the joy of the Lord. And after the Holy Ghost is given, you can't express it without this relationship being right. What they got in Nehemiah, we got to get in the New Testament. There's still a walk with God after you get saved. You don't just get your sins forgiven and live in rebellion and live out of sync with God. Can you say amen? You get saved and then you are supposed to have a new attitude and new values and a new life expressed. That's not what saves you, but that's what proves you got it. And joy don't come while you're not surrendering to His will. And joy won't come no matter how much you're baptized in the Holy Ghost unless you're submitting to His authority. Can you say amen? But when you surrender to His will, submit to His authority, love Him and want to serve Him, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Hello? Are you with me on this? You see the difference between dunamis, power, and the relationship that strengthens you? No wonder Pentecostals missed it. You'd think we'd be living above the Methodists. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You'd think we would out-missionary Moody. Missionaries, they got a whole wall of missionaries gave their life on the mission field. Most of us can't make it across the street to witness to a neighbor with all of our Holy Ghost, P-O-W-E-R. You think you're going to be rewarded for how high you jumped? How much you danced or hard you laughed? Or how many people you affected for Jesus before this whole thing is over? What do you think the reward's going to be for? Amen? Don't ever put down the old song, bringing in the sheaves. Can you say amen? Amen, if I can't bring some sheaves to God, what am I doing in ministry in the first place? If we can't touch others with our testimony, what are we doing in church anyway? What are we really getting out of this whole thing? Do we get it? Raise your eyes and what? Look on your ministry and look on what God is going to do for you and look at how people are going to look up to you when your day comes and your anointing is finally manifest and people see what a grand spiritual person that you are. No, raise your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Can you say amen? And pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send some laborers into the fields. Can you say amen? For the harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. How shall they hear? Unless somebody tell them, how shall he go except he be sent? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Hello? Ain't going to be no joy just sitting in church looking for something to get you through the week. There'll never be enough of it to get you through the week. You'll come back in the same or worse condition than you were when you got there before something hit you in the service. Can you say, man? We need a right relationship with God. We need to start walking with Him through the week. So when we come to church, it's already here. We bring it in with us. We don't try to pump it up. We quit fronting. By the way, I'll commend several of you. You ain't fronting. What you are all through the service. Thank God you're not a hypocrite. You've lost the victory and you show it. It's clear. It's evident. Don't ever try to witness to anyone or tell them about the Bible till you get victory. They're not listening. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not winning anybody to Christ. Not one person. Can you say amen? Because they're looking at you. You're the epistle. You're the living epistle. Can you say amen? There's words on a book, but you're the living reality. You understand what I'm saying today? Don't argue because you're right. You're not right until you're right with God. Amen. It's not just theologically correct. It's spiritually in relationship correct. Get in a right relationship with God and you won't have to argue Scripture so much because people will see that you have something that they don't have. Can you say amen? I don't have to argue theology, amen, with a Catholic brother or sister. I don't have to argue theology with a man from the Church of Christ. All I have to do is live for Jesus and live victoriously. Woo! Hallelujah! I wore a nice shirt to sometimes I want to hear things to know it's still working in me because I go through ups and downs and I have bouts with anger and bouts with frustration and bouts with discouragement. Amen. That doesn't prove you're wicked. It proves you're human. Amen. And in my humanity, I want people to see in this cracked vessel a treasure, amen, that is inside. I want that treasure to come through the very cracks in the vessel. Halaba koshalaba. And sometimes God, I wore one of these nice shirts my wife got me. It's one of these real shirts that makes me look young. And I put it on and it's so blousy, amen. It just, you know, covers a multitude of skins and sins and just whatever it is that isn't just really firmed up. I don't like those body shirts or those tube top things. They show things that I don't want to show anyway. And that's or look at. Hey, amen. You ever seen a fat mirror? Literally, that made you look kind of squatty. Why do they put them in a Kmart? Why do they do that? There are mirrors that actually make you look taller and more slender. We buy those mirrors wherever we can find them. I like that mirror. It doesn't matter if it's what it's got around it. Doesn't matter the setting it's in. Amen. Patty gave us a fat mirror. I want you to know that was a fat mirror. It's out of her bedroom into my old outdoor bathroom, the one that I go in when I'm real dirty. But there's a skinny mirror in Pamela's room. Now, Sunday morning, I put my suit on. I go look in the skinny mirror, and I say, yeah, looking good, bro. I don't even look in the one out there. Got a full-length mirror I never look at. Anyway. Oh, man. Through all of our humanity, I've got this nice shirt on. I'm going out of the locker room, and some of those guys are kidding with me. He says, oh, you know, it's after 9:30, and everybody's headed for clubs, and I look like I'm ready to go clubbing because I not just wore a T-shirt. I wore this nice shirt and these dress slacks. Amen. And I wore it in, and now I'm getting ready to leave, and I put back on out of my uniform and all the sweat and stuff. And I put on this nice shirt, these dress slacks, these nice shiny shoes, and I'm walking out, and some of the guys are saying, yeah, Rev got a hot date tonight. I did. I was going to take Pamela somewhere. But anyway, and it was pretty hot. It's a good date. And it was really hot that night, so humid you could cut it with a knife. Anyway, she's a hot mama. Anyway, moving right along. I want to get myself out of the doghouse in a hurry here. Hallelujah. What a fox. Glory to God. Amen. And so I'm headed out the door, and they say, boy, Rev's got a hot date tonight. Oh, Rev's going out. Look at him. Boy, he's going out tonight. And I'm walking out, and I just said something about character assassination, you know, just to get him back. And there's a guy real serious walking behind me. And he says, Rev, he said, we don't listen to what they say. We see the fruit. And I thought, then it came through. It didn't come through because I tried to make it come through. It just came through. I don't want to lose that evidence, that fruit, that the Spirit produces that says that God lives in that life. There's nothing in your life as convincing as fruit. Can you say, man, you can talk until your lips fall off, but there's nothing, and you can say everything right in the Word. But until you're right with God in that fruit, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, everybody say relationship. Come on, this is a branch and a tree receiving its life from the tree. Amen. Nothing without the tree. Everything from the tree. If you abide in me and my Word abides in you, amen, you're going to bring forth fruit, and your fruit is going to remain. Lisa, I want you to see a preacher standing this morning just as strong as he stood the first day you ever heard me preach. I want you to see a marriage working today just as mightily bound in love and in covenant as it was when God saved us both. Hallelujah. I want you to see something, not just hear something, when you come to church on Sunday morning. Woo! This knowing the last days as we close, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now I want you to visualize a tree trunk as we get ready to close. There's much more to this message. We'll have to finish it tonight. I do have a pause button. Y'all thought there wasn't one, but there really is. I can pause this message, and I will pause it, because I don't want to miss any of these important issues by just rushing through them. I'm going to stop and let you know that we desperately need this strength, this stronghold, this refuge. You can have all the power of God that He can give you in your life, but if you're not in a relationship with your God, in your walk with Him, there's not going to be a manifestation of that to give you victory. Can you say amen? I know people that talk in tongues that have lost the victory. I know people that have run the aisles, that have operated in the gifts of the Spirit, that have become deeply depressed and oppressed by the devil. Don't mistake the gift of the Spirit for your daily walk with God. Don't interpret what you feel in any given service, amen, for the way that you relate to God in your daily life and your trust and your casting your care upon Him and leaning on Him. Don't mistake that. You can't live in the euphoric state of the anointing. You can live in a consistent relationship with your God. Can you say amen? I want you to see a tree trunk. Self-love. Say self-love. Everything else grows out of that. Everything else grows out of that. Jesus calls you to come and die to self. The world and a large part of Christendom now, amen, is all about self. Every message is around wrapping yourself with the things that are self-gratifying and self-satisfying. When you find the joy of the Lord, you quit thinking about self and you know there's nothing can gratify you like Him. That's why Paul, with such anointing, such spiritual qualifications, amen, said, oh, that I might, everybody say intimacy, that's what he was, I might know Him. Halabakosholabarata. In the fellowship of His suffering, He said, I'll never know Christ until I have suffered in the flesh. And I don't mean the beatings and the scourges. I mean to say no to the desires of the flesh and yes to the will of God. I'll never know what Christ is really like until I say no to the flesh and yes to God. There's a liberty in that. There's a liberation in that death. There's fruitfulness. Except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and what? Die! It doesn't bring forth any fruit. It abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth. And this world needs to see something. They've heard it before. They need to see it. They need to see the fruit. I'm not taking allocates on myself because, to be perfectly frank with you, amen, a couple of weeks before, I thought, man, I feel so rotten today. I feel so unwilling. I actually raised my voice, and I felt so bad that I didn't have that under control. I don't know where it came from, but I raised my voice. I did not curse. I haven't cursed since I've been saved. Amen. I haven't even come close. I'm just saying that's just one area I'm not weak in. Amen. Now, you may be weak in that area, but that's one area that and I'm not going to say, behold, I stand. Amen. But I'm saying I'm not tempted to do that. I mean, I just don't make me feel any better. I've wanted to hit somebody. I wanted to slap somebody. I wanted to throttle somebody. Not kill them or anything, but just squeeze them a little bit. Let them go, you know. I've wanted to, just for a minute, and then repent. So anyway, an event happened, and I hollered out, Boy, my flesh felt better. If I told you the event, you'd say, I don't blame you. I would have, but I'm a Christian. And the guy walked out of the room back to his position. He shouldn't have been in the first place messing with us under such pressure. So I immediately ran over and I grabbed him and I looked him in the eye and I said, I am so sorry. I said, this place is getting to me and I'm so sorry, because there's nothing to do with you. Tell you, I can't stand not being right with God, because that's my strength. Can you say, man, I want to be right with God, even if I have to get right with you to be right with Him. I'm willing, buddy. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I love you. You're easy to be right with. Praise God. But there's some people who's a little tougher. I felt something old and primeval. I tell you, I just felt like, boy, I feel like doing something rash. I got on a motorcycle, and they were taking my picture when I went to. I hadn't been on a motorcycle in so long, and I'm going to tell you, when you get that, all that power beneath you, and I felt like I used to feel back when I was a teenager, you know, when I was that. I just felt leather jacket. I'm bad. I felt good. I felt bad. I felt good. It was good to be bad for a moment, you know. I was just sitting on there and feeling that exhilaration of I'm the man. I'm the man. And they were taking my picture. My sister-in-law was over there, and I looked at her. I said, born to be mild. Because I can't be wild no more and represent Him. Hallelujah. It felt so good. Immediately, I couldn't stand letting that thing fester. I wanted to get it clear. I want the fruit. And the fruit doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that people see your sincerity and your authenticity. And that you are just like them in a lot of ways. But there's one thing that separates you. You have a different master. You have a different lover of your soul. You have a different Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, you're genuine. You're real. And that God's not angry with me. And he doesn't question my Christianity. In fact, I think he's more convinced of it. Shalabah. It's easier never to say you're sorry. Because you always have it together. Than to admit your shortcomings. And apologize when there's need for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a flat tire last night on my car. And a maintenance man come in and said, are you driving the Chrysler Concord? I said, yeah, and I'm wore out. I've worked 6 days this week. And I've walking out to a flat. He said, I just thought you'd want to know before you got out there. And I thought, yes and no. I got 2 hours to go and I'm looking forward to a flat. And I'd almost rather just walk out there and say, but then on the other hand, let me see if, what, have I got a spare? Hey, man, have I got tools to change it? I don't know what's in that trunk. So much of my junk's in there. And where is it? And how do I find it? And then people begin to come and offer to change it for me. And I said, no, I can change. I'm not that old, you know, and decrepit. I can change. And a guy wanted to lift it up with a forklift. And I said, no, I got a jack. Don't touch my car with the forklift. He said, I can lift it right up, Rev. You won't have to operate that jack. I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. Hey, man, I could just see my car coming off the ground and tilting forward and crashing and getting in trouble with the people anyway. Amen. But, you know, I told everybody I could take care of it. And here a guy comes and pulls his truck up and turns his lights on. And here another guy comes and shines a flashlight. And I'm working on it. And I hit one. And I just hit it one time. And it was really hard. And the guy in the pickup truck ran over and pushed me out of the way and says, I got it, Rip. Boy, he loosened it up and showed me what a wimp I was. I would have got it on the second try. I probably loosened it so he could get it. Right? Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Everything about the last days wears on people. Out of this trunk, it said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is the trunk of the tree, and here's the limbs. Out of self-love comes covetousness. That's why I want what you got. Because I'm only interested in me, not you. Boasters. When I'm in love with myself, self-love makes me just boast in myself. And what I told you was there's real victory in Jesus. I know who I am. And I know how weak I am. Amen. And I know without the grace of God, I'm nothing and worse than nothing. And there's no victory outside of him. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Self-love puffs you up. Blasphemers. Not afraid to speak against the holy things, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. As the end approaches, it will be difficult to live victorious in a society that's so corrupted by Satan's lies and sin's unchecked destructive force. One translator says, in the last days, it'll be very difficult to be a Christian. That's an authentic, not a generic term Christian, but an authentic Christian. Turning away from all those other things and turning to the Lord. When I was growing up, I had Christian teachers. I had the 23rd Psalm got me a Gideon New Testament. They did it in the classroom as I recited the 23rd Psalm in the sixth grade. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Branch, called my parents in to not to tell them how bad I was as later on. But anyway, you know, when I got a teenager, and you know how weird teenagers are. Wouldn't it be great to bury them when they're 13, dig them up when they're 22? You know, just bury them and dig them up later. And Lisa's saying amen, but She should have been buried too. Anyway, moving right along. Don't be too hard on your kids. They're just like us. God help us. Amen. Anyway, moving right along. I don't know about Dale. Kim, oh, let's don't even go there. Moving right along. But say God's hands are on your son. When you ever hear a teacher telling parents that the call of God was on their child in the first grade? Baptist woman, not even Pentecostal with gifts, but a perception. Something different about this kid. Want his parents to know God has his hand on him. I sense it. Wow, what a thing for a teacher to say. Didn't mean nothing to me at the time, but the teacher knew. Didn't mean much to my parents either, but the teacher knew. Sixth grade. Oh, they didn't just teach the reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's. Amen. But they taught something else because my sixth grade teacher, just before she died, came, Verna Stokes, and she came and to our church just before she passed away and heard me preach one time. Amen. But she taught morality. Oh, man, she taught us guys to be gentlemen and girls to be ladies. Amen. She taught a New Testament Judeo-Christian ethic in the classroom, and nobody had anything to say because the culture was geared toward the Judeo-Christian ethic. Even non-Christians recognize this is the right road. Even if I'm not on it, I cannot deny the righteousness of it. There was no problem with the Ten Commandments then. There was no problem with a manger scene then. There was no problem with a Bible in a classroom. No problem with prayer. Amen. No problem with the name of God and the Pledge of Allegiance. But there's a problem now, because these are the last days. It's tougher now. The pressure is on to compromise our convictions and just go with the flow. Let me read you this and we'll quit. The Greek word translated perilous originated from a root word that means the reducing of the strength. That's why it's so crucial to have the joy of the Lord through a right relationship. Because the joy of the Lord is your true strength. If that relationship is right, Israel's going to be protected. You're strong because you're right with your God. That's where your strength lies. It's in your relationship with the God of the covenant. Can you say amen? Come on, do you see this? Do you understand this? Are you getting this today? That's why so many New Testament Holy Ghost-filled people are not living in victory, because that relationship needs to be corrected. That's where the joy comes from. It's not just coming to church and having somebody lay hands on you and inject some joy trip on you. Had a guy went to a meeting, fell out in the Spirit, got holy laughter, said an angel came and pulled every bad thing out of him and testified to it. I saw his wife in a 7-Eleven 2 months later and said he was suicidal and thinking of taking his own life and went back to drinking. Well, what happened in that service? He encountered the power of God, but he didn't develop a right relationship with him. And the power will never keep you without this relationship as a foundation. That's why so many tongue-talking people live in defeat and depression and oppression. And lose victory and can't find happiness in even in good happenings. There are people that not only can't find happiness even in bad happenings because of the joy of the Lord. They can't even find happiness in good happenings. Even when God's blessings are evident, something inside is wrong. And God wants to put it right. Because without God putting it right, it'll never be right. You said, well, if I lived in Fiji... away from it all, I'd be fine and go out and look at the sea every day. You're wrong. What's wrong on the inside here will be wrong in Fiji. Strong's Concordance said, hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous times. We're in desperate need for the true joy of the Lord that brings with it the strength to overcome. In Lot's day, because of corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah, the pressure was on him and he was vexed. I want you to stand to your feet. We're not going any further. God is here. I want to begin by strengthening you with might in the inward man, but I do not want to stop there, saith God. Yea, have you not heard where it is written, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I want to fix what's wrong in your spiritual life. I want to fix what's wrong in your relationship with me. I want to embrace you. I want to hold you close, saith God. I want you to know the love and the joy that passes understanding, saith God. I want you to experience that in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to shed that love abroad in you, saith God, that you may rejoice. I want to turn your mourning to dancing. I want to give you the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, the oil of joy for mourning. There's too many people filled with the Holy Ghost that know little or nothing about the joy of the Lord. They know the joy of the exhilarating lift when He comes on them. But the moment He lifts off of them, it's back to business as usual. And Satan is capitalizing on the fact that we misunderstand and misinterpret joy in the Holy Ghost for the joy of the Lord. I stand ready. Yea, I stand willing. Yea, my eyes look to and fro throughout the whole earth to show myself strong. I want to be your stronghold. Yea, if your heart is perfect toward me. It doesn't have to be perfect in every way, just perfect toward me, saith God. In your relationship with me, saith God. David walked with me. David loved me. Even when he failed, I picked him up and reestablished him. I can do the same for you, saith God. Yea, for I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of David and of Samson. I'm the God that restores. I'm the God that revives. I'm the God, yea, that defends. And I am the God that loves unconditionally and consistently. Come back to me, and I'll come back to you, and the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, saith God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Everybody's not going to come. Message like this, dear Lord in heaven, I would crawl if I had to get back to God. Did I give you a CD? Would you put that on? Get ready. We're going to worship for just about 3 minutes. You know how this works. Amen. What's anybody going to see if they drop it? Anybody want anybody to come here, a visitor? Check us out? What are they going to see? Where should the fire really be this morning? We got the Holy Ghost. We got the gifts of the Spirit. We're the anointed one. Where should the fire be this morning? Where should the fire be? Amen. I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. To stir up the gift that's in you. It means to fan the fire, the fan into flame, a fire that can go out through neglect. See, we need this relationship back. We need back that first love out of that first relationship with God that made us want Him more than we wanted our next breath. Want Him more than the sports event. Desire Him. We didn't love pleasure more than God. We love God more than pleasure. In fact, God was our supreme pleasure. Hallelujah. And listen, it wasn't just the strength of youth. I'm here to tell you as a man pushing 60. It wasn't just the strength of youth. There is a joy of the Lord that strengthens you. It will touch your spirit. It will touch your mind. And it will touch your body and will begin to affect your circumstances. You'll be able to stand in faith when others are trembling in fear. You'll be able to see through the darkest night and say, weeping lasts for but a night, but joy cometh in the morning, and morning comes when the sun of righteousness arises in my heart, not when the sun rises in my circumstance. Hallelujah. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? Oh, I'm not done with this message, and this message ain't done with me. God is working on me and working in me. Are you ready to rejoice just for a little while? This may not happen.